Okay, let's declare the word of the Lord. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, this evening, the word of God is coming forth. I receive my portion in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive correction in the name of Jesus. I receive instruction in righteousness in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive wisdom for salvation as the word comes forth in the name of Jesus. Say this, say, as the word is coming into me, is driving away every ailment, every confusion, every unrighteousness, every ungodliness, every infirmity. It is establishing me according to the resurrection of Christ Jesus. He is establishing me in health. He is establishing me in prosperity. He is establishing me in righteousness. He is establishing me with life of all sorts. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's start from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. We are continuing our discussion on going and possess the land, how to do that, how to possess the land. And I want to start, I just felt impressed upon as I was meditating and preparing for this evening's session to emphasize something to us again. Let me just read from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. It's a scripture we all know very well. Now, I want to just read from verse 1, but where I'm going is the very popular verse 6. He said, "Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and aroused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. He said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on the top of it and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts, belonging to each of the lambs which are on the top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side.' Now there was a lampstand. It had different, of course, each lamb had a bowl. And there were beside the lampstand, there were two olive trees. Now then I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now I want you to notice something here. In verse 11, "Then I said to him, 'What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left?' And I answered the second time, and he said, and said to him, 'What are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves?' Then he answered me, saying, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth.'" Please, there's a reason why I came up to, I want to start with this one today, talking about our going and possess the land series. There's a message we preached about 4 years ago here, or 5 years ago. I talked about the sons of oil. And what I tried to explain, that because the literal expression, they want to say these are the anointed ones. What it actually means literally, these are the sons of oil. And what I want to bring out from here is this. You will notice that this lamb was burning. The source of power, the source of fuel, were two olive trees that were feeding it with golden oil, he said. And now remember what he said in verse 6. When he asked, "What are these?" he said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." What was he saying? He saw a lamb, saw a lampstand, And what that represents, of course, is the shining forth of the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God. He now said, how is it going to be? Tell Zerubbabel, it is not by his strength, it's not by his power, it is by the Spirit of God. And what was that saying? That there has to be an infusion from the olive trees, which are the anointed ones, which are feeding this lampstand with oil. Oil for them was a source of fuel. It's like, oh, now you have a car, and you see a car about to take off. He said, beside it are two filling stations. And I said, what are these two filling stations? He said, these are the anointed ones that are pouring forth oil, fuel, into this car for it to perform its function. That's what he was trying to say here. And he said, this is a summary of it. Zerubbabel, you are not going to succeed by your own strength. You're not going to succeed by your own ability, your own machinations. You are going to succeed because the Spirit of God is being poured into you. When he said it's by my Spirit, what he was saying is that the tapping of oil from those two sources. And the angel said to him, what are these? He said, these are the sons of oil. And I thought about it that time, that they were the prophets that prophesied to Zerubbabel. These were the prophets that were feeding him with the word of God. Do you understand? I said something to us some time ago. Anytime you want to get involved in something, usually God has given you a book to read. Now, what I said is, I mean it literally. Now, don't take it literally as in it has to be one book. But God gives you a set of instructions. Sometimes it's in a book. Sometimes it's in a set of books. It's a revelation. It might be, listen to this person. This man has a word that will help you go to the next level. It is not as if you are worshiping a man. It is that you are worshiping the word of God. I said something to us last time, I think it was on Tuesday, that I realized something when I was reading what Moses said when he was narrating the experiences of the wilderness to the children of Israel. He told them that you saw that you are a nation that's peculiarly blessed, that God appeared to you. You did not see a form. You did not see any structure. What you saw was just a mountain burning and all of that. But from inside it, you heard a voice. You heard a voice. Now, this is the point I want you to understand. When he was talking about the fact that you heard a voice, he said, you did not see a form, so don't make any image so as to worship that image. But you heard a voice. Now, this is the way I interpreted it. He was saying, therefore, every form of worship you are going to get involved in must have to do, all right, must be related to that voice. You must make, now please get what I'm going to say, make an image in your heart of that voice. You follow that voice everywhere it goes. You don't bow to a graven image, you bow to the word of God. You don't bow to structures and idols, you bow to the word of God. The word of God must be the center of your worship, the center of your activities. And this is what God was telling Zerubbabel here, that what you are going to experience in life will be a result of the constant infusion with the word of God. The anointed ones is saying there were people from which the word came to him. The emphasis, you must understand, was not on the anointed ones, but the fact that they drew for him the oil of God. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. That Zerubbabel was not going to succeed because of... See, when you use the word power, not by might, it has practical meanings. Power and might refers to, of course, physical power. It refers to, all right, connections. It refers to natural abilities. Please, follow me. Listen, that's why Solomon said the race is not to the swift. People who have natural abilities, it does not guarantee success, especially for children of God. That's what they call power and might. It was saying that your success will be because there is a constant infusion of the word of God into your heart, into your life. You are only going to succeed because the word is flowing into you all the time. So that's why he said that these are the sons of all. And when he said to Zerubbabel, not by power, it's not because you are connected. Not by might. Not because you have abilities in yourself. It is going to be because you are always being fed with the word of God. And that is what is called grace. Please, I hope you are getting my point. There's a reason why I started today with this. And this is my reason. You'll see it in a moment. That for us believers, you know, one of my favorite topics in preaching the word of God is the subject of grace. Now, this is what grace is. Grace is that which God, you know, I've used, for the time I started compiling my definitions. But now I'm sure that I should have more than 50. So I don't know, I'll just say one again today, maybe a new one. Now, this is what grace is. Grace is when, yes, I have a new one. Grace is what happens in your life as long as the sons of oil are delivering the oil of God to you. Grace is the burning of the fire of God around you. Grace is the result you get as because of the infusion of the oil from those two anointed ones. Grace is when God's power produces results in your life, not your own ability. That is what grace is. Grace is when your name is David, you're young, you understand? Yet God arranges, and men who are more experienced in war, all right, more than you, they come around you and establish you as king in Israel. That is what grace is. Grace is when people say that, look, study hard, you will get a first class, and you'll be able to get a good job, all right? Now, you didn't hear that gospel on time, you did not study that hard, or you didn't even go to school at all. But all those who studied hard, worked hard, got first class, second class, they now come and apply before you for a job. Do you understand my point? When the Bible now says that the elder shall serve the younger, that's what grace means. Grace is that, yes, they are going to succeed in life. That is true, all right? But they will get their success by being attached to you so that everybody is happy, but all the first class around, they are working for you. That is what grace is. Now, please, I'm trying to explain the meaning of the word grace. I want to really get this thing, all right, very clear to us. Now, so when God was saying to Zerubbabel, it's not by power, not by might. What he was saying to all of us is that what God is going to do in our lives is not going to be because of what we have the capacity to do in ourselves. Now, why am I saying this? There is a mistake sometimes that comes into Christianity, of course, while we are trying to teach the truth. People now start looking at some of the things you are teaching as methods. And I've seen people who come to Christ. Well, I don't know whether they came to Christ, but they came to church and learned the sound principles of business, learned the sound principles of life as believers, okay, that believers are supposed to operate. And they now think that it is based on that they are going to succeed in life. Now, let me say something quickly. Those principles are sound, and they actually contribute to success. And an average person can actually operate them, and it will work. They will work. Now, I want to digress, but this part of what we do, we digress, we learn a lot. It's like when you read books on marriage and relationships. Let's talk about marriage for a moment. There are many principles of marriage. I read a lot. I have not read much in recent times, okay? Why I don't read much is that they have a way of getting me upset. You preach marriage on a premise that does not recognize the power of God in it. You preach marriage on a premise, okay, that, you know, sometimes you must know what people are struggling with. Like one of my friends said that in the United States, one of the things that destroys ministries is when a pastor and his wife has issues. Do you understand? So that you find out that, if another of my friends said that, so you find out a lot of the pastors are preaching so as to prevent their marriage from breaking down. And it's such a frequent occurrence there. So they are afraid. So that they do a lot of things to please their wife so that the woman won't go away because his career, it will be over. So when you see the man preaching, he's not really preaching the word of God. He's preaching out of the anxieties of his heart. And he's telling all of you, and you know, I'm not trying to talk down anybody, but that's the reality of their environment. And so that's the reason why a lot of times I find it difficult to relate some of those books. Because you're talking with a premise if I'm supposed to beg my wife to stay. No, I look at it from this perspective. The two have become one flesh. And he's not going anywhere, she's not going anywhere. Now, both of you will obey God and enjoy yourselves. And if you don't want to enjoy yourself, it's your problem. But you're still not going anywhere. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's my own premise. So that's just by the way. Now, back to what I'm trying to say. I read a lot of materials, and I found out something that's consistently, very frequently absent. People don't emphasize the power of God in this thing. They think it is methods. They tell you how to make your wife happy. It's good for your wife to be happy. All right? I think I feel better if my wife is happy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's good for your husband to be happy. I'm sure my wife feels better when I am happy. Okay? However, that happiness is not the key to marriage. It is not the key to a lasting relationship. It is not the key to stability. Because offenses must come. Amen? Amen. It's the word of God. Now, those principles are fine. I'm not saying they are wrong.
But they are not the key to maintaining stability. They are not the key. So some people operate those principles thinking that this is the key to marriage success. And I say, no, these are not the keys to marriage success. What is the key to marriage success? It is simple. The Word of God. What am I by the Word of God? The Word of God doesn't always make sense. Please, you say, what am I talking about? You get there, you see, just follow me closely. The Word of God does not always make sense. When I say it doesn't always make sense, I don't mean it is unreasonable. But the Word of God does not always give you step one, step two, step three. It doesn't have this sequential progression to success, to victory. What do I mean? The Word tells you you are going to take the promised land. And that is, and then it says, now go in and take it. I don't know whether you go what I'm going to say here. There's nothing like, all right, plan the strategy. This is how to overcome. It just says, I have given you the land of the Amorites. Go in and go and collect it. If you go and see where troubles began from, the people said, let us go in and spy and plot how we will systematically overthrow the cities and take them over. And Moses too said, yes, it's very nice. And I said, God, please, they want to go in. God said, let them go in. And the Lord was saying, this is the beginning of trouble. The plan they are going to make is what will spoil the whole thing. And when they went in there, as they were devising their strategies, every strategy they had for victory showed to them they could not take the land. So they returned and said, we tried to see how we're going to do our infantry attack, but we discovered that their soldiers are too big and the walls are walled. So we plotted to use some cavalry attack. The only problem is this. But then they said, look, artillery barrage is not going to work. The walls are too thick. So we came back and said, we are not able. You will notice something. The good Lord did not at any point say, that strategy is not good. Let me show you another one. What he just did was to get angry. What the Lord just did was to get angry. That how could you have done that? So that based on your strategies, you concluded that you are not able when I said you can. That's what I mean by the Word does not always make sense. The Word expects that once I say you can is all you need. So they say, are you going to take the promise? I say, I'm going to take it when? Tomorrow? How? I don't know. When we get there, we'll find out. Arise, take the city. Just start running towards the city. You're getting my point?
Yes, sir.
And what the Lord does is that at each point, now listen to this. At each point, the Lord begins to give you a wisdom for each moment. There is no certain structure. You get to Jericho. Say, how do you take Jericho? So you go there to attack the city. Guys, they've locked the gates. So you come and say, Lord, we are going to take the land. This one, we are about to take it. How do we take Jericho? Say, there's no problem. Circle the city. Once, every day, for 6 days. On the seventh day, circle it 7 times. Then when you finish circling it, blow a trumpet. Now listen to this. There has never been an experience in which a city was taken because the wall spontaneously disappeared. They could not have plotted that we would take this city following the disappearance of the walls. In case you do not know, I don't have the time now to go into all of that. The truth is that the wall didn't fall down, the wall sank. A minute after the trumpets went down, the wall was no longer there, apart from the segment that contained the house of Rahab the harlot. The angels went, they pushed the walls into the ground. Then suddenly, there was no wall. What am I going to say here? The Word did not have that as an established strategy. There was a time, it was time to fight again. And Joshua did not go to the battle himself. He stood far away and took his javelin in his hands and pointed it in the direction of the city where the men were fighting. And as long as his hand was up like that, victory came to Israel. A new strategy. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? That is why, if you find all these 17 keys to make a happy marriage, I'm sorry, I don't believe a word of it. Because the 17 keys that makes Angela happy are the same 17 keys that turns Edith off. The 5 keys to a better husband, that makes Gabriel smile is the very five keys to a better husband that makes Michael go into a rage. You can't succeed in anything in life as a believer, as a child of God, except there is a constant infusion of the oil of God from the anointed ones into your life. I was chatting with a sister today, a minister of the gospel. We're discussing about some things. And there was something I said to her as we were talking. I said, well, I don't want to give details. Something led to it. I said, listen, when God, that the ministry gifts, he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the edifying of the saints, all right, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ until we become all, you know, all the details, Ephesians chapter 4. I said, I was quoting from Kenneth Hagin. I heard Kenneth Hagin say something some time ago. That was the first time I heard like that. He said that the ministry gifts, the way I used to look at it, that God gave Banky as an example now, a gift. What is that gift? He has a teaching gift. But actually, that's not what God did. What God did was that he looked at the body of Christ in Nigeria. He said, I need to send a word to them. So he sent a teaching gift. And what is that teaching gift? The name is Banky. I'm not the one that's carrying a gift. I don't know whether you're getting my friend here. It's not as if I have a gift. No, I am the gift to you. I don't know whether you got what I'm saying. Everybody who has taught me the word of God, they were God's gift to me. So when they say he gave gifts unto men, he gave gifts, he gave some as apostles. He said they need apostles so that their lives can improve. So I will send Philip, I will send Peter, I will send Paul so as to be a blessing to them. Jesus was a gift to the earth. Do you get my point? So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that they will not perish but do what? Have. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. So this is what happens. God has given you sons of oil, anointed ones. Not because, please, you must get the point. Pastors, preachers generally, teachers, they are not, the primary aim is not for them to teach principles. The primary aim is for them to impart a spiritual ability to people. That didn't get across well. Let me go over it again. The primary assignment of preachers is not to teach principles, how not to. It is to impact a gift, a spiritual ability. Paul said, I want to come to Rome that I may impact a spiritual gift to you. That is, when I'm done with interacting with you, you will find the kind of ability in you that you did not have before, which I could not have taught as a principle. There's no principle of boldness. I don't know whether you heard what I said, though. Please don't follow me. There's no principle of boldness. Either you're bold or you're not. I remember a TV drama I saw years ago. Some men were somewhere in the bush. I think that they saw a rat, or they saw rats, and they said, or they're snakes or something. So one of the fellows got really scared and began to misbehave. So they said, what's the problem? He said, I have a phobia for, let's assume it's rats, I can't remember now. So the other man said, my friend, pull yourself together. And he answered him, he said, if I could pull myself together, it wouldn't be called a phobia. I don't know what I get my point. That the fear is irrational. I get into a panic attack. I can't help it. If I could pull myself together, it would not be called a phobia. Most of us don't have phobia for snakes. I hope you know that. Our fear of snakes is reasonable. Another reason I want to explain inherent abilities. In the same manner, all right, please follow me. That's what timidity is. That's what boldness is. There are things that are just inside you as a trait. They are just inside you as a trait. It's not something you're just taught to do. It is something you either can do or you can't do. Now, that ability. For example, Jesus came to a woman and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I keep on saying, it wasn't counsel. Okay, go and look for a man who's on drugs. He's addicted to cocaine. And say, go and don't take cocaine anymore. You think he likes taking cocaine? He liked it for the first 1 week, the first 2 weeks. Since last year, he's hated it, but he has not been able to stop. Most real Christians who are in bondage to a habit, to iniquity or something, they hate the idea. So counsel does not stop it. What helps a fellow overcome is an impartation of ability so that he cannot do, she cannot do what she could not do before. So when Jesus said to that woman, go and sin no more, what he was saying to her is that receive the ability to walk above the temptations of life. That woman, she was not supposed to say, thank you for the advice. She was supposed to get up and say, amen. When you say amen, the Spirit enters into you and sets you on your feet. Hope I'm not getting too technical. I hope you know what I'm saying. What a preacher, a minister of the gospel, whether it's an apostle, evangelist, teacher, whatever it is, his primary duty is not to give you a set of instructions to walk by. Those are secondaries. The primary duty is that once you listen and you pay attention, sometimes it comes with the laying on of hands. Other times, it's with a prophetic word. And prophetic words, they slide, oh, get what I'm saying? They slide out as the word is going before. You just hear something. Something just said. You may be 20 in a place, 500 in a place. One or two people just catch that thing. And they'll start referring to it later. The day I heard this, since that day. I don't know whether I get my point. It was not the words. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. It was the words that were spoken. The Spirit contained inside those words that gave them the life. That gave them the ability. So the man is speaking. The preacher is preaching. He is teaching. What is happening is that God's ability is being sent into people. It is not about set of instructions. That's why I say something. Listen to me. Let me say it again. I have thought about it, and I'm convinced of one thing. Anybody that pays attention to what I say, I'm not saying you read your Bible. I'm not saying you read Kenneth Hagin. I've read all these people too, Kenneth Hagin and Co. But I'm saying I bank it. If you pay attention to what I teach, listen, you will not die young.
Amen.
Thank you for the amen, but it was not a prayer. I was giving you information. Two, the poverty of your life is only transient. You won't be poor in life. I will not teach you how to or how. Don't wait for how to from my mouth. Just pay attention. Doors will open for you in places that I did not know existed. The ability to walk through the doors will come into your life, not because I knew the doors were ever open, but just because you paid attention. And I say, Pastor Bank, you mean you're a special man? Listen, the answer is yes. If you're waiting for a humble man to say no. Forget it, there's no humility in that. What is special? Everyone has something that God said, go and give to people. Do you understand? Paul said, I magnify my office. He said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but of God, who has made us sufficient or able as ministers of the new covenant. We minister life. That's why, listen, the principle of happy marriage, no happy marriage, listen, let me tell you, it is who is speaking into your life. It's not the method you are learning. It is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual. It's who is. Jesus said, you read the scriptures thinking that in it you will find life. He said, no. Life is not like that. He said, the scripture was supposed to tell you where to find me. Then you come to me, then I'll impart life to you. Jesus said, you know what he was saying? The letters do not profit, it is the Spirit. No matter what you read, except through that reading, you contact a spirit, you're fooling yourself. That's why Paul said, we are not dealing with man's wisdom. It's a demonstration of spirit. Are you getting my point? And of power. You know, a man, I told you once, a man came to me, look for me here. I was sitting somewhere around here that time. I finished teaching, I sat down. He was older than me, but he almost knelt down to talk to me. What was the issue? He said, until I heard you, I did not believe there was a God. And I asked myself, you've heard me preach. I have never preached to those who don't believe in God. You've heard me preach. When I'm preaching, I say clearly, if you don't believe in God, it's your problem. Tune off the radio. I have other things, other people to talk to. When I used to organize programs those days, I used to print there. This program is for Christians only. I'm not joking. Go and look for my old flyers. Here we expand the precepts of the kingdom for believers only. I don't know what I hear him say. It's like the Bible. The Bible was not written for those who don't believe in God. Why? He started by saying, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. If you don't like it, go and buy another book. I don't know whether you are getting my point. This is what I'm going to explain. That man that day was talking to me, and he said he heard me talk. And for the first time in his life, he was convinced there is a God. What did I say to him? I don't know. What happened was that the spirit, now that's what I want to emphasize, is called the demonstration of the spirit and of power. The spirit rode upon the words and entered into his life. People have heard me teach and they've dropped hard-held convictions that I did not talk about. I did not address the convictions. They just said, this cannot be true. So it was when we started hearing you, we realized that. And I didn't talk about those things. The reason is simple. The spirit. That's why God alone takes his glory. I don't know whether I get the point. Nobody deserves it. Because there's no argument you can use. Look at healing power as an example. Somebody pays attention to the word of God. The pastor did not say, now exercise yourself, do this, do that, just by paying attention. Then the spirit rides upon those words into the fellow's heart, and the fellow is healed. That man of God cannot claim anything. Because literally, in that setup, he's nothing. What decides in life? I'll use my as an example. Whether you succeed or not. It's not principles. People are too. You see them. How many times to buy flowers for your wife? The ways you cook and present food to your husband. If those things work, listen to me. They work only for a moment. It's temporary. They give you the joy and gladness you have not seen in a long time. Last, maybe, if it works well, it can last up to 2 days. Yeah, otherwise it's just a few hours. And that's the end of it. That is what happens when you are trying to use what? Principles. Steps. Those things are flesh. That's why most of the books they write these days on marriage, I don't read them. It's pure carnality. Carnality doesn't mean you're trying to sin. It means you're not laying enough emphasis on the working of the power of God. That's the issue. What brings forth the life? That's what the Bible calls life. Somebody say life.
Life.
Life. Do you know the truth? If you cut down a tree, maybe cut off the branches and all of that, but you leave the roots still in a good ground. Nobody teaches that tree how to sprout. One day you get there, it's brought out another branch. It gets stronger, it gets longer, it gets leaves. The leaves get green, sun shines, rain falls. Do you understand? The tree gets bigger and bigger and bigger. After a while, nobody is talking to the tree. Why? It's getting that result because it has what? Life. If you're healthy, do you understand? And then you have an injury. Bam! Mistakenly, you're in the kitchen one day cutting something. You cut off. You slice your hand. You wash off the bleeding, clean the place nice, bandage it. After a few days, you open it up. The wound has closed. It gets stronger and stronger with time. It's called what? Life. Nobody is there explaining to the fibers. Produce collagen. So after that, next thing you now do is to now begin to cross-link your collagen. Proliferate cells. Proliferate. So 17 keys to healing a diseased wound. to healing an injured hand. No. They have life in them, so they heal. What we try to do is that we are feeling the effect of no life. So what do? We learn the 17 keys to healing a damaged hand. We are the fiber, we are the cells that are damaged. So we'll start struggling. They say, now you produce collagen. Invite somebody to give us a seminar on collagen production. By the time you finish living your whole life, you are striving. Oh, God. Oh, many things to explain. That was what God said to Adam. That from now on, it's from the sweat of your brows that you eat bread. All those principles are the principles of sweating. If there was no curse operating in his life, bread would have grown with next to no effort. I hope you get my point. So you find out that when life is operating, you start discovering. Now, listen to what I said. I chose the word carefully. You start discovering what to do to cooperate with the next season. You are now a hindrance to the advancement of what God wants to do, so you learn how to get out of the way. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Because life is trying to force things to come out. And why we learn what we learn as believers is to ensure that we can cooperate with what he wants to do. So when they get to Jericho, that's why God brings forth a new word all the time. He gets to Jericho. Jericho must come down. Say, yes. So what do we do? Circle Jericho. So there's no law. That's this is how you do it all the time. There was time they were thirsty. What do we do? God said, strike that rock. Moses struck the rock. Next time, there was a problem. God said, this time around, don't strike the rock. Speak to the rock. Moses was tired. Just took and hammered the rock again. That was a mistake. See, God doesn't have this hard and fast rule of material methods. What he has as a hard and a fast rule is the spiritual infusion of the Spirit by the entrance of his word. That's why I've said it before, be careful when you see 17 keys to business success. Read it, be informed. Don't believe any word of it. Now, when I say don't believe any word of it, let me explain what I say. Believe, to believe, it doesn't mean to accept that it really happened. To believe scriptural terms now, it means to hold on to, adhere to, you understand, and cling to. Go and read the Amplified usage of the word believe. It's something you cling to. Don't cling to it. IMF talks all the time. Now they are saying Nigeria must devalue, that they advise, they've been advising Nigeria again and again to devalue the Naira. The CBN governor said, we are not devaluing the Naira. The vice president said, no, we are not devaluing the Naira. Nigerians said, we are not devaluing the Naira. Before, I used to think that maybe the IMF people knew what they were saying. You know the truth? Just by the way. You know, IMF people, you know who they are? They are human beings like you and me. IMF is not a spiritual structure. There's nothing divine about it. Like when they said WHO, you know, I quoted it, but I laughed behind the back because, you know, now my side is WHO. I think, get away. What's WHO? Human beings. Sometimes I'm talking to medical students. Maybe I say something, they said, the book said, I said, listen, my friend, the book was written by a person.
Maybe he has the same qualification as I have. I've not written my own, does not mean I don't know what I'm saying. So better believe. The day I got insight into who is IMF was the day Sam Aluko, they just inform us. Sam Aluko said, when they say World Bank, World Bank, he said, who is World Bank? He said, these people were my classmates in London Business School. And I defeated them. That is, I did better than them in class. When he said it, I said, okay, it's true. He said, they say World Bank, World Bank. He said, who's World Bank? He said, they were my classmates in London Business School. I did better than them in school. I said, it's true. But you know, those days, they never mention anybody's name, just say World Bank. You think World Bank is a spiritual entity. But actually, you are right. It's a satanic entity. You know, those people are satanic. Yeah, satanic. And those. They don't tell the truth. Now, let me tell you something. You don't believe in human beings. So you see that. What I'm saying so is this. When people start talking, do you understand? You tell you the IMF says this one, World Bank says this one. People hold on to those things as if there are rules for success. Not knowing that human beings wrote those rules, either for selfish reasons, or even sometimes they think the reasons are good, but the fact is that they don't always work like that. I was saying what belief means is you adhere to them, hold on to those things as if they are eternal principles. That's what it means for you to believe. Now, but actually, listen to this. This is what I'm going to explain. The only thing you are supposed to believe, listen to me, is the Word of God. And I started by explaining the fact that the Word of God does not make sense. When I say doesn't make sense, I don't mean it's against common sense. No, what I mean is that it does not come out to establish a sensible pattern. What the Word does is that He breathes life. What the Word does is to do what? Breathe life. Create life. And when it has created life, as it is working, do you understand? As it is developing at each stage in life, it shows you what to do new. And you will discover it as long as the sons of oil are pouring the oil of God into your life. This is why God gave preachers. In this life, this world today, there are so many jokers out there. We have to keep praying for the body of Christ so that as to purge this thing. Because the truth is that the power for the Christians to perform comes from the word that is pushed into their lives by the gifts that God has given the body of Christ. I hope you get my point. They don't just teach principles. That's my emphasis. The impact was life. So it's so difficult. That's why the Bible is not full of, especially the whole New Testament. Paul starts saying things that really makes no sense. And it demands you believe them. It's now I understand that, listen, he's not trying to teach you principles. He's trying to do what? Impact life. So God will come and say, a father of many nations, I have made you. What are you supposed to do? He said, believe it. Then I'll give you work to do as works of faith. That is, what are the things? What are works of faith? Things that keep you busy so you don't lose hope. Because when people lose hope, they've detached from faith by so doing. Therefore, that word cannot come to pass for them. So God says, look, I'm going to make Abraham a father of many nations. I'm going to make him a great man. So what do I do meanwhile? Give the man farming to farm. Give him a household to run. Give him things to do. So the man is there doing business, multiplying animals, moving from here to the other, just keeping life going until God had developed in him the spiritual ability to carry Isaac. And then one day Isaac was born. And he said, a father of many nations I have made you. Then he teaches Abraham how to handle Isaac. He teaches Abraham what to teach Isaac. Why? So that Isaac will be able to tap that power for the next generation. And that's it. Each generation is supposed to just learn how to tap the power, because what God is infusing is what? Life. Please, you know, I'm just going to use that marriage as an example. For us to understand, it's not principles. Let's get back to what I'm going to explain. This issue of going and possess the land I'm talking about. Nobody is teaching principles.
No, listen. There are no principles that are so strong and firm, physical principles now, that anybody can hold on to and say, this is the source. This is how we do it.
Those people say that, in ministry, they want to go somewhere and learn how to build a 1 million-man church. You know my opinion of it. I always laugh. They're not going to learn anything. The only thing you can do, let me tell you something. The only thing you can do is to receive inspiration. Inspiration is more powerful than that information. Yeah, inspiration. For you to just look and say, this is possible. That alone changes your life. I don't know what I heard I said. For you to just look and say, this is possible. That alone changes your ability. Otherwise, you cannot go to South Korea and go and learn how to build a 1 million-man church. No. It does not happen like that in spiritual things. What God does is pour a spirit inside you. And then you cooperate with that spirit, because for each expression in life, there is something different that God is trying to bring out, and there is a new method he's going to use. So I use the marriage as an example. Having been married all these years, I discovered that only God could have come up with such a dangerous idea. And only him could have released the ability to make it good. And nobody should try and learn any principle of Christian marriage except the fellow is having an infusion of the oil of God into the place. That oil of God is not tangible. It's not something you can describe. It's an impartation that enters into you as you connect through words. Words are like the electrical cable that taps the current. The current itself, you can't describe. Are you getting my point? The current itself, you can't measure it. That is, you can't handle it. The current itself, you don't know what it looks like, but you know what it does. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know what it does. Electric current is interesting. Have you noticed it? It does all kinds of things. Right here is giving illumination in these stage lights that we have all over the place. Just right behind there, the same electric current is cooling a place. This morning, the same electric current in my house heated my bread in a toaster. Are you getting my point? The same electric current creates motion. The fan is around you there, it's moving. The same electric current is transmitting my sound, converting it and storing it on storage devices. If somebody listening to this through a device, the same electric current, can you see everywhere it goes? That is what the Bible calls life. That is what the Bible calls what?
Life.
So, what we do, listen, words that we listen to, that we pay attention to, it transmits life. It doesn't transmit principles. No. If we learn principles, is there things we learn so as to get ourselves out of the way? He said, make a straight path for the Lord in the wilderness. Then the glory will be what? Automatically revealed. Except oil is being poured into your life. Listen, there is no principle you can learn and make success of life. There's none. Just look at them and say, you are searching the scripture. I think you need to find that. He said, no. The scriptures describe the source of life. The source of life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why, listen, no matter how much he tries, somebody said, how do you know TB is not the true man of God? I said, just sit down there and listen to him. If he feel the entrance of life into you, I've seen people, I just sit down before. It's happened. I'll just sit down. A man is just talking. I remember one man. One of us going to Enugu. I told my wife, this guy is not. I said, this guy is fake. My wife said, do you know? I said, I can't explain it. But just listen to him. This fellow is fake. He had the church. He comes to release the word of God. Well, maybe because of spiritual sensitivity, I just sit down and say, this guy is not releasing the smallest dose of life. Listen, if I come now and give you a battery, I say it's fully charged. And you put one wire here, put one, touch each other, it does not produce any spark. You don't need anybody to tell you the battery is dead. He just said, look, I can't feel anything here. He You wake up in the morning, you try to start your car. You hear click, click. It's not turning. You go there. They don't need to tell you. The battery is dead. You get another battery. Doing all kinds of funny, funny miracles to try and improve. Listen, he said, how do you know? All I needed to do was to sit down and hear the man quote. He'll go and memorize Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and quote, and be pouring out the words. But the words are empty. You hear the words, they are empty. They are dropping bang, 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 nothing. Empty words. Listen, I'm preaching about the power of life. That's what I'm explaining. That nobody is teaching principles. I am not here to teach you. These are the steps by which a believer, somebody will make success financially in life. No. What I have come to preach, what I am preaching to you, is that there is a grace. There is a power. All this, you're paying attention to what I'm saying, is opening your life, let me use that expression, for the force, the power, the ability of God to flow into you. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something about David. When David saw Goliath, I don't know how, but the man just knew he was going to get Goliath. Now let me tell you something. Goliath no be my own. You know the way we say it. Goliath was not an easy man. First, we have from the scriptures testimony that he was a warrior from his youth. He was an experienced warrior. Saul said to David, this man has been a warrior from his youth. Goliath was enough to make Saul remain in his tent. Abner did not come out. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, go and read the Bible. Abner, I think by that time, was it Saul's chief of army staff by that time? I think he was, Abner. David had some men with him, all right? Later on, which were men like Joab. What's the name of Joab's brother? Abishai. There's another one, I think the youngest of the three. Do you know one day that one was chasing Abner? Abner told him, oh boy, leave me. Go and fight somewhere else. That one wouldn't stop. Abner killed him without looking back. Go and read your Bible. These were David's toughest men. Abner killed him with the back of a spear. That was why Joab killed him later. Which offended David. Because he said he shed the blood of war in the time of peace. These were tough men. Yet, they saw Goliath. They remained in their tent. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Then a small boy showed up. The moment he saw Goliath, he said, I'm taking this man down. This is what I'm convinced about. He has started blabbing. You must understand David. David, as Alice, he was a typical young man, very impulsive. When the lion took his beer, his sheep, his lamb, David did not think about it. He ran after it to collect his property. And he was not looking for a fight. He said it clearly, I just want what is my own. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Assuming you're going on, maybe thieves came and raided your neighborhood. You were not there. They removed your laptop. You now found where the thieves were gathered. Armed though, with knives and guns. You now get there, knock on their door. Hey, who's that? You open the door, say it's me. What are you looking for? You are a thief. You stole my laptop. Let me have it. I don't know whether I get the point. These guys are carrying guns and knives and you're not carrying anything. That was just exactly what David did. Then as he took his laptop and he was about to go, one of the thieves removed a gun or brought a knife, are you getting my point now, and attacked this David. David now said, well, since you asked for the trouble, I just came. The next thing, the man had turned himself to Jet Li. Are you getting what I'm saying? Had blocked the knife, deflected the gun from the man's hand, and then kicked the guy in the neck. And the guy, his trachea is crushed, he dies. He said, please, I just want my laptop. That was precisely what David did to the lion. Now, you say, what am I talking about? I'll tell you. How did he kill the lion? Before the lion attacked him, he had no idea how he would. It was when the lion attacked, the guy realized that, listen, I'm fighting for my life here. Then the wisdom of God to tackle that lion came into him. The same thing. Goliath was making noise. How can this guy be making noise? I will handle him. How are you going to do it? They gave him a spear, and he had no plan at that point. He said, oh, God, this one is too heavy. I can't use it. He dropped it. As he was dropping, he was calculating. Then suddenly, he understood how he would take the man down. He didn't learn how to sling that day. He didn't learn that day. He said, this one, I'll use a slingshot. Go and check. He didn't use that against the lion. He didn't use it against the bear. That's how they could turn on him. It was after they turned on him. When somebody's on you, that's not when he starts slinging. They say, wait, move back. Let me stone you. You don't do that. What am I going to say? That method he used for Goliath, he did not know that method until that point. It did not fit anybody else apart from Goliath. So after I made noise, I'm going to take the man that he looked and say, how do I handle this man? Going down, he's going down. There's no problem about it. He's going to go down. But how? And the Holy Spirit said, look at his head. He said, oh, that portion is not covered by his helmet. That would be a good target. That was why I quickly went, look for 5 stones. And the guys looked at, no, for that range, I don't need more than 5 shots. One will hit. And the first one hit. This was wisdom that came upon him at that moment. There are 2 things I'm trying to bring out. First, the first one is that what gave him that boldness and that confidence? It was a spirit. What did I call it? There was a spirit that he had. That's the first thing I want to bring out. And that is what this preaching is impacting into anybody paying attention to it. I hope you're getting my point. That spirit that makes you get up, say, I'm going to be a governor in this state. Say, you, any political experience? He said, no. And you still want to be governor? Say, watch me. How are you going to do it? I'll tell you tomorrow. Because right now, I don't know. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Sometimes that man starts his political career. He says, it's not form. Eh? Did they kill for if you take a form? No, I obtained a form. Fill the form, I put it in. Then God starts giving him wisdom. Starts mobilizing things for him. Before you know what's happening, he wins a gubernatorial election. Now becomes another story to tell. How did he do it? Then they will now write a book and teach the next generation on the method that the man who used it did not know before he used it. And those ones will go to school and say, these are the methods for winning against giants. Every Goliath after that understood that this is your head. Bind it very well. Because this nation of Israel, they have some dangerous people that stone. After that, stoning didn't work again. I hope you remember for it. It didn't work again. It didn't work again. It did not work again. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. The first thing I'm trying to bring out is that what gave him that spirit is the infusion of the power of the spirit to the ministration of the sons of oil. That was the thing that gave him that spirit. And number two, is what I've talked about, as he was using that spirit, the spirit of wisdom starts manifesting. The spirit of favor. God starts mobilizing people. Go and help that man. Go and see how David became king in Israel. Men who fought for Saul, they came. Look, we don't have time to go through the story in the book of Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles. They will sit down there and tell David what they can do. Men will come and say, I am a commander of thousands. See these 1,000 men, they do whatever I say. And each one of them can kill Goliath. So David will say, what do you want? I want to be in your army. Come in. I make you a major. That one says, yes, sir. That's it. David's army kept on growing, the Bible says, until he became like the army of God. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, the victory that we are scoring as believers is not method. I hope you get my point.
Yes, sir.
It's not method. I'm talking about going in and taking the land. It is a power of the spirit. The only way you will make it, the only way you will be sustained in it, listen to me, is by paying attention to the flow of the oil. I feel sorry for Christians who get very busy and they don't have time for the word of God because they've begun to prosper. you must understand that this is the source. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? This is what is taking you to where you are going. You take the, look, it's not method. You didn't come to church to learn methods. So you can't say, I have learnt it. You can't say, I have learnt it. There are listen, let me give you advice. Let's talk about divine healing. There is a book God has given us, all of us, to read. Now, when I say book, now I know the Bible is our core. Are you getting my point? That is, but the impartation of the Spirit. Hmm? Hey, I don't want to say something so it won't sound blasphemous. Those people read the Bible, and Jesus said to them, you are reading the scriptures because you think. And it was implying that they were erroneous, that in it you will find life. He said that is supposed to describe to you where to find life. Life is in me, Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? That it's not just about reading the scriptures. It's about using the scriptures to contact life that is in Christ. That is very deep, it's very wide. I don't even fully understand it. But one thing I can tell you, in today's world that God has given us today, that scripture is your testing ground for you, to know the kind of spirit to expose yourself to. You can't just say, I'm a believer. I have my Bible. I've never seen a good, successful Christian that lives like that. So all I need is a Bible. It's a lie. If all you needed was a Bible, why did the same Bible say, don't forsake the assembly together of brethren? If all you needed was a scripture, why did Paul say, I want to come to you to impart a spiritual gift to you? He had the scrolls. They had the scrolls. Why did they need him? If all you needed was the Bible, why did he say, Timothy, you have a gift inside you that was placed inside you by the laying on of my hands? Listen, there are things that... Look, you can't just sit at home and say, I've read my Bible. Now lie. The Bible is your number one. It's your... Let me put it like this. It's your safety manual. It's your reference library. So that not every nonsense spirit is thrown into you. Are you getting my point? When a man wants to pour a spirit into your life, he says, hey, wait. Say it again. He says, see, I'm coming. Before I say amen, let me go home. The things this guy said, where is it? He said, okay. He's telling the truth. Say it again. He says, amen. Then the spirit that guy was sending. Oh. Listen. If you are alone on an island and nobody is there to impart a spirit into you, then God starts raising you up to become a life-giving spirit yourself. But he has to raise you up. In this life, I was saying something earlier. I've looked around. I'm not 100%. I'm not the only one that's accurate on this. There are many other people that can speak. But on this one, I can tell you, I have looked around. If you want to walk in perfect health as a believer in this generation, please grab Kenneth Hagin. I listen to him all the time. Ignore things you don't agree with. You don't like his accent, go and learn his accent. Some people say, no, I don't like these foreign preachers. I can't hear them. Were you born hearing anybody? Those days when I would go home, I'm playing someone like Kenny Hagin, my mother would say, oh boy, come. Are you telling me this man is speaking English? And you are hearing what he said. And I'm like, yes, I can hear everything he's saying. She just shake her head. Now, wow. She will listen again. Say, ah, you are certain this man is speaking English. I'm going to say, I can't hear what he's saying at all. I say, it's English. Of course, because of the American and Texas accent that the man has. But what do? We learn it. Good enough, he has books. We read his books. And listen, my own experience now is that every time the man speaks, every time he speaks, he told a testimony of a woman who listened to him for six months or 18 months. At the end of the period, she was born without feet. The new feet grew out. The man will give a testimony of people giving up to die from cancer. that he began to just teach the word of God. So it took me a while, but I got her totally healed. When I hear testimonies like that, forget it though. I don't get time to argument. You can call them all kinds of names. I take the messages and I pour it into my head. He's not 100% accurate in everything. There are things he says, and we have carried to another level. Not because he's wrong, but of course nobody knows everything. And after listening to him, we should be able to carry this thing beyond that level now. Then we'll move up to another level. But he's a book. He's one of my sons of all. Oh boy, pour grace into my... That is, pour it. Pay attention. There's a spirit of understanding that some men have. You have read the Bible. Listen, I am not bragging, all right? This is just how life is. Some of you read the Bible for a long time. You didn't know anything until you met me. Is it truth? So I've heard people say that, okay, when you read the Bible, sometimes we'll check our own, whether it's the same version. I mean, it's just life. You see, don't think it's a method I used to teach you. It's a spiritual. It's just because we interacted. I told the first day I went to Covenant Christian Center in Lagos, Pastor Poggi was teaching. When the man first finished teaching, one session of teaching, I went home, grabbed the Bible, and Isaiah, for the first time in life, it made sense beyond Isaiah 53. The only part of it that made sense before was 53. Why? Because that was the one Pastor Kenneth Hagin and Co. taught from. Then I went to Covenant Christian Center and Pastor Poggi began to talk. Talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. He said that the gospel that the prophets prophesied, he said the gospel was not preached in the New Testament, it was preached in the Old. That the New Testament is only the key with which we decode what the prophets prophesied. I said, Jesus is Lord. Oh. I ran back home, grabbed my Bible. I said, Isaiah, come here. Isaiah said, you are welcome. I've been here. So then I began to read, it began to open. Until that day, listen, you read a man like John G. Lake. Between John G. Lake and Kennedy Hagin, the two of them, you read them, you pay attention to them. There is a reality of the spiritual realm that comes into your eyes. There are men you will finish reading and interacting with. You start... I don't mean as a joke. I mean literally. You will start seeing angels around. There are men. They're not trying to show you principle of how to open your eye when you are praying. Quickly open it so that the angel before it runs. Because when we're young, they tell things like that to happen. No, they're not teaching any method. And they're not telling you, try and see angels. They're just telling you about the realm of the spirit, real things. Just be teaching as they are teaching. A spirit is entering into you. Next time an angel wants to pass, they say, oh boy, I see you. I'm not kidding. Things like that happen. You just see a man crossing the road. You just stop. I just follow him and say, this fellow, I know you. You're an angel. And you see him cross the road and disappear. I say, hey, I knew. Why? You learned an ability? No. You interacted with men that poured a kind of spirit into you. When we're talking about winning in the land, taking the land. We're not talking about methods. We are saying that by the time we finish talking, are you getting my point? Ability to succeed. That's what we're talking about. It will come to you. Fear will run. Sometimes people are making all kinds of decisions, running up and down the whole world looking for success. It's not like they are wicked people. Before I used to argue, now I don't argue. I understand that they have not been impacted with what I have eaten. The people that poured... I remember those who met Bishop Oyedepo. There is nobody that saw Bishop for the first time that was not shocked at his size. Because when Bishop Oyedepo is talking, you think he's a giant. Because when the man finishes talking to you, he pours a giant spirit inside you. That is, you'll be walking on the road like this. A trailer will be coming and say, my friend, stop. You will have told the trailer, stop, before you realize that the guy can crush you. But the fact is that he couldn't crush you with that kind of hand you put up. I had never seen that kind of spirit of boldness until I met Bishop Oyedepo. The man is ministering like this, will be staring at him like a spirit. Every gesticulation made sense. When Bishop does like this, you feel bold. All he just does is like, said the thing entered me so strong. He makes statements. He's like, what? What did you say? But you believe it. He said, if I were a woman, I wouldn't need a man to get pregnant. And when he's explaining it, he said, listen, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed, and he just sounded like this. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. Did something will just enter your body. I now understand what Paul meant when he said, I want to come to Rome and impart a spiritual gift to you. We are overcoming by the power of the Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you are going to overcome and succeed in it and continue in life a victor, it is by the flow of the oil from the sons of oil. In this life, God has given you sons of oil. They're all over the place. What are you doing on Facebook? Who's facing you? Listen, if you are not in a group where people are shooting the word of God to you regularly, get out. They're not helping you succeed. You have only 24 hours. God will not multiply the time for you. He says, reallocate the time. Let me know what you're doing with your time. I like to get practical. Listen. You want to learn the word of divine health? You want to learn the word of miracles? Say, who are the sons of oil that are pouring this thing out? Pick up their material. In fact, I like modern day. The words are powerful. Put it over your ears. Lie down at night before you sleep. Let 15 minutes drop inside it. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, for their life to those who find them, and medicine to their whole body, health to their whole body. The first word is what? Attend. 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 It's not, I don't like this preacher. Who cares who you like? When you are sick and there's one doctor, you say, I don't like that doctor. Is who will bring healing we're talking about. I feel like just explaining that. If you are believing God for divine, you can't. Listen, believers. We are called believers because we're actively believing something. You can't believe except you have information. Are you getting my point? It's only when the word has entered into you can discuss whether you are believing or not believing. I'm telling you, look, the path to succeed in this life, this victory, we say go in and take the land. We're not talking about, God, these are the methods. You wake up and do like this. You wake up and do like that. No. We say, pay attention. All this our discussion is so that the spirit can enter. And when the spirit has entered, listen, give the kind of boldness. You start bidding for contracts. People will think you are mad. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes.
They will think you are crazy. They say, who's bidding against you? They will say, Strabag. You look at, did you say Strabag? Say, yes, you, bidding against Strabag. And you are wondering, what is wrong with you? Why are you in your tent? Why don't you come out and face Goliath? I don't know. Are you getting my point? You're like, why are you afraid? Is Strabag God? That's your own mentality. They say it's a Goliath. Says so. Then when you have said you are bidding, you have said, I did not leave. After they leave, say, what do I do? Suddenly, God wakes you up at night, start giving you ideas, things to say that the most experienced engineer, the most experienced project manager in Strabag has never thought of. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. The day of presentation, what project have you done before? You mentioned one or two small projects you've done. And they're like, you think you can handle this? When you start talking, a spirit will enter into that place. We are spiritual people. I don't know. You get my point? Listen. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Men will sit down there. When they hear your presentation for 30 minutes, they will almost be trembling. They will look at each other like Pharaoh. And they will say, can we find one as wise and as discreet as this one is? Seeing that in him dwells the spirit of the gods. He said he doesn't have enough experience. He said, look, but the way he has spoken, we have never heard anybody talk like this. You know, when people saw Jesus for the first time, they knew he came from somewhere different. Say, we have never heard anybody talk like this one. I finished preaching somewhere. One man came up to me. He said, now I understand how the apostles must have felt when Jesus was teaching them directly. It's a real manifestation. That's what I'm telling you. The problem is that we've been competing with people of the world. Who do I know on the board? My uncle's friend is the chairman of the committee. We have not settled at home and gotten infused with the power of the oil. Are you getting my point? There is a wisdom in heaven that God has kept for you. He said he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. There are words you will speak. Listen to me. When you first come in, they will laugh. Look at him. He said, are you the one your MD sent? He said, I am the MD. They start laughing. It already shows that you are small. Are you getting my point? By the time when you open your mouth for the first time, after the first sentence, everybody sits up. 30 minutes later, they are enraptured. You finish presentation, you know you have won when the chairman starts clapping. No, these are real things, words, spirit. Hey, I remember the first time I heard Pastor Kwoju preach. May 18th, 1997. I read some of the articles he wrote. I entered the church. The church looked a bit like this, you know, a small place. All of them looked young. They were mostly men, like here. I said, who is the pastor? They all looked alike. You know, no wonder they had to kiss Jesus for them to know who was who. I tried to identify who this man who I read his writings is in this place. I couldn't identify him. I saw one guy come out of an office and go back inside there. He was wearing a shirt, a white shirt, a black pair of trousers, and a simple tie. I said, no, maybe not him. Then he came out and sat on a chair that was slightly different from the other ones. It was not a big chair, but the chair was different. So I said, that must be the fellow. I said, eh. So I left everything to come and hear this guy. Fine, we are here. No problem. Then he came up the pulpit and began to preach. He said, we have been speaking about this inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. And once he started like this, and the righteousness of faith. Once he started, I said, these are the same things we learned in school. I said, righteousness by faith. We know it now. No be Kenyon. You know that kind of thing. No be Hagen. He made a standard statement. By the time he made the third statement, I sat up. He went, who shall change our vile body that it might be conformed to the body of it? I sat straight. He was thinking that there was a seed. The seed, if body is fashioned according to the kind of seed that God is going to place inside it. So you see, there is a seed. I was trying to write. The man was talking so fast, I couldn't write. So I tapped the man in front of me. I said, sir, is this on tape? He said, yes. I dropped my Bible, dropped my paper, and dropped my pen. No, I was holding the pen, and I was listening to him preach. He preached. I bent my pen. I was about to break it because of tension. I said, this thing will snap. In church, they will notice. I released the pen. This guy spoke for 2 hours, 20 minutes. At the time, I almost shouted, sir, please wait. Let me breathe. But the man wouldn't stop. 2 hours, 20 minutes later, he finally stopped the barrage. You understand? It was shooting ignorance, shooting nonsense out of my life. Why did I tell the story? When I first walked in and I saw him, he hardly looked older than I was. Just a little. And of course, I found out later, just a little, few years older than I am. I said, eh? But when he opened his mouth, God gave him a mouth and a wisdom that changed my ability to interpret scriptures from that day. The message is titled The Inheritance Inside the New Man. Listen, forget what you look like. People say dress properly. It's good. You know, I believe in dressing well. All you need to do is follow me small. You know, this guy likes to dress well. The Lord is good. It's not the key to success. It's not. A naked Adam, if he did not go into the process of falling, will stand before any committee, they won't notice the brother is not wearing dress. They won't notice he's not wearing pata. They will not notice. Because of the glory that we overshadow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is how we succeed. That is how we break through. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to pour a spirit of excellence, a spirit of success, a spirit of victory, a spirit of the overcomer, a spirit of David, the kind of spirit that faces Goliath and knocks Goliath down and makes us controllers and kings and priests on this earth. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you followed me today. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, send to me my sons of oil. Open my eyes to understand. For the anointing to overcome. For the anointing to prosper. For the grace to overcome. Say, Lord, I receive it now. Say, Lord, I receive it from the entrance of the word. The words that I've been coming for. The words I read in books. The words that I hear from authentic teachers of the word. Preachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists. I receive grace. I receive the impartation. I receive power. I receive grace. I receive grace. The grace. The grace. The spirit of David. The spirit of David. The spirit to overcome. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I declare to you that goodness is going home with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it all the time like this. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Let me say this again. I said it earlier, and I say it again. You will not die young.
Amen.
Your poverty is only transient.
Amen.
It is over already.
Amen.
The struggles of yesteryears, they are gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are an overcomer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that overcoming spirit is going to manifest in this generation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are a savior that God has sent into this land.
Amen.
And you will be a creator of wealth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Not you will be. You are a creator of wealth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to create is released in your life right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to create, the favor, everything that you need to cause things to happen in your environment is released into you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you are releasing it into effect in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors you open as you approach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, don't worry. Maybe you're supposed to see somebody, go for an appointment, something. You are trying to call who? Forget it. What did I say?
Forget it.
Just go there. Before you get there, doors will open for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just repeat this test.